I mean, in my mind, the story is aspirational, you know, so we don't have a narrative about somebody else. This is about you. And this is about you being inside that Bentley. Yeah. And I think that a lot of the story takes place in your head, between the parts of the VR headset, you know, where you're thinking about how nice it would be.
If life existed where augmented reality and virtual reality were part of our daily lives, similar to mobile phones, what would it look like to you?
I think my day would look pretty similar, but possibly more efficient. So I start my morning by checking apps such as the weather, so I know what to wear for the day and even how that might change throughout the day. Checking emails just in case I have anything urgent. But again, instead of looking at a phone, as you mentioned, it might be some kind of screen in the air above your bed when you wake up that you can touch the app, you can swipe away emails to delete. And then continuing on into my car on the way to work, that there's more efficient and safe ways to, again, start looking at emails, or if I know that I had a phone call I need to return, that it's a quick one touch, I can call someone back and start that conversation on the way to work.
This is quite an important episode because when you are one of the rare companies in the automotive AR and VR space, it's important to listen to what they are doing. And they may not be revolutionizing this technology, but they will certainly be a key ingredient to it.
Relay Cars was born out of millions of images that have been collected over the last 20 years by parent company Evox Images. They understand that AR and VR adoption is not their endgame specifically, but with greater adoption of hardware from companies like Apple and Samsung and Oculus, as well as others, Relay Cars will have laid the foundation for what us as end users will experience when AR and VR does become more commonplace.
I was overly excited as I was recording this episode with Relay Cars, and so I had stepped on the power strip, and so you might hear a brief cutoff of the recording, so please forgive. Stay tuned as you hear more about virtual reality and augmented reality from two individuals that work at Relay Cars, Travis Falstad and Dave Weber.
You are now tuned in to the Wisco Weekly Experience.
Chicken brown, chicken brown cow. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning into this episode of Wisco Weekly. I'm so thrilled and delighted to bring you this episode because I've just had a fantastic last 2 hours hanging out at Evox and Relay Cars. And I want to introduce you my two special guests for this show, which they will be sharing some insights into the future of AR and VR. So let's first welcome Travis Falstad, who is the AR and VR Development Director, and also Dave Weber. He is the Director of Business Development. So, gentlemen, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Great to have you here, Dennis.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So, first off, let's take care of some housekeeping. If people want to follow Relay Cars, people want to follow Travis and Dave, how can people do so?
We are Relay Cars on Facebook, Relay Cars VR on Instagram and Twitter, and relaycars.com is the website.
Excellent. Okay. Well, let's get into it right now. So, I want to start off with I don't even know what the future would be for you guys. If it's 20 years, if it's maybe 5 years or 50 years, but ultimately you guys have this idea of what the future of AR and VR looks like. Okay? There is this utopia. Share with me, what is this utopia so I can be part of this?
So I think that utopia is a charged word, but very, you know, I like to be looking in the glasses half full. I think that we can look at the same ways that a lot of other technology has been adopted over, you know, the recent few decades. Mobile is something that people most often think about, you know, to go from feature phones or flip phones to then having cameras to then having this whole app ecosystem with everything ranging from health applications to social media, dating, and, you know, well, looking at cars like with Relay Cars. So we expect that the long-term vision is that the devices will kind of blend into the background as they have, you know, people don't generally need giant computers like they maybe did 15 or 20 years ago. A lot of people have small laptops and small phones. So we expect that the kind of the utopian future of AR and VR world will be people maybe have contact lenses, which some research is being done there, or lightweight glasses, you know, and there's a rumor that Apple will release something in a couple of years. So, you know, we know that tens of thousands of engineers worldwide right now are working on a lightweight glasses solution. And in that world, we expect that you'll be able to do a lot of the same fun and utility-based things that you can do now with a mobile phone or a computer.
Now, so the comparison to, using mobile phones as this tool and this platform that everything has been built off of then, and you had mentioned that with VR glasses, that will kind of just fit in with the background of mobile phones. Will VR glasses, AR glasses, be also a platform that other things are built upon, like mobile too?
I certainly do expect that, because just, you know, if you think about how important mobile was in the, you know, it made people mobile, right? So it opened up a lot of applications that could happen using location-based experiences and, you know, and being with people all the time. You know, I track my sleep with my Apple Watch, right? So we expect that a lightweight headset, or further in the future, something like a contact lens, will allow a whole new ecosystem that will be built that, you know, to us right now, you know, I think in 2008, you know, nobody could predict things like Lyft or Uber, mm-hmm. that probably not Tinder. You know, so there are a lot of things now that are fundamental and are rewriting the way people have their human experience that we never could predict. Even, you know, we're not to that kind of iPhone moment in AR and VR, but even at the actual iPhone moment, we couldn't predict any of the real major use cases for mobile.
Now, so walk me through then like a day. So Travis is sleeping, he wakes up, he puts on his glasses or contacts, which are tied into VR. What are you seeing at that point?
So I would probably have an augmented layer, right? So that when I get up, a lot of the things that I want to know now, the basic, I want to know my calendar. I want to know if there's anything urgent. I'd like to know some health information. I'm probably going to go for a swim or a run in the morning, so I want to be able to track that. I want to see how I'm trending, you know, for the week. So a lot of that would be represented. Now I use maybe a wearable or a mobile phone. You know, that would happen now in an overlay that is even more invisible. If you can think about, again, comparing it to 15 years ago when I would have needed to look that up on a computer, or 30 years ago where I would have needed to get a newspaper and have a good memory. So that's, I would expect that would be the beginning. But now think about, again, this is the utopian vision, right? Is now, maybe I can't go into the office that day, so I might do a meeting with a holographic, like a real-time streaming holographic video. So now I have the likeness of somebody in 3D standing or sitting in the same room with me. We conduct our meeting, maybe it's a few people. You know, there are great applications out there in VR currently that are virtual desktops and virtual workplaces. So I would expect to interact with one of those to perform my tasks, like getting through messages, getting through, you know, tasks on a task list, maybe some documents. And then, the afternoon is probably more of that, you know, and then for the evening side, there are probably going to be entertainment options. You know, there's obviously the 2D screens that we have now. I think those options will still remain in a more immersive world. I don't think the 2D cinema will go away anytime soon at all, maybe hundreds of years. But I do think that there will be 3D or virtual options that use 3D and probably holograms in a way that I can't begin to predict.
Well, so a lot of the things that I've heard then is for Travis is the idea of implementing AR and VR in your life is it really is going to come down to these experiences that are now a little bit more accessible in a single location that you can do a lot of things. So Dave, to your end, AR and VR is now a reality, or of course it's a reality now, but again, let's just say we're expedited into the future. Dave wakes up, he puts on his contacts or glasses. What's Dave's AR VR world?
Well, I think what Travis said, it's going to be the new platform that we're going to utilize primarily for everything that we do. So while he might be looking at his calendar first thing in the morning, I think, you know, what has gone on in the world the night before, you get your news, you're going to have all types of access to different data points, find out about the weather, you can plan things. I think from a virtual reality standpoint, you're going to be in a place where if you wanted to literally go someplace, you'd have the ability to, you know, experience something possibly in a national park or what's going on in Rome. I think it's just going to elevate things to a whole new level.
Well, so you're talking about it, but I want to know specifically what would Dave be doing? So I like the idea of, you know, checking the news the day before, but what would Dave be doing?
Well, you know, probably if I'm with Evox, which I assume I will be, it'll be one of those things where we're in the VR, AR business as it is right now, and literally can get behind the wheel of any car that's in the market today.
Okay.
So you're going to be able to utilize this technology to do shopping on your own terms. You'll be able to pick out, configure vehicles, you'll be able to schedule test drives, you'll literally be able to do everything where your encounter with a dealership will be on your terms, and you can do anything anytime that you'd like.
Now, so this is actually a good pivot point here. So if before we get to talking about some of the manner in which customers are shopping for cars, take me back to how Evox Relay Cars came about. You know, if we're looking at kind of this timeline, this history timeline, can you share with us what is that timeline and how you guys got to this point?
Sure. So Evox was founded by a gentleman named David Falstrup back in the mid-90s. David was an aerospace engineer, a car nut, had participated in Formula One racing and a few other series. And back then, he was looking to do something new, and he wanted to really transform his loves into different areas. And back in 1995, with the anticipation of virtual reality coming along the first time, the company developed the first 360-degree spin and interior panorama, which is basically having a vehicle on a turntable or a camera inside of a car, and you spin it around, you take 36 different pictures, and then you magically stitch them all together, and you've got a seamless movie. Back then, it was very innovative. He worked with Apple Computer, was introduced by Steve Jobs at a Macworld event in Boston. And while there was a lot of excitement at the time, VR had some issues, which was pretty much the head-eye motion. There was a little bit of lag, and people were feeling a little nauseous. And that fad kind of left the marketplace. The company had to pivot, and there was this thing called the internet that was coming along. And the company moved towards, why don't we create all of the automotive digital assets that dealers and OEMs are going to need with this new medium? So the company started in the year 2000 collecting assets for just about every manufacturer, every brand, mass brand anyways. We do about 700 cars a year, and created a standardized photo process where we collected images, roughly about 60 images for every car, 360 spins. Over the years, we've evolved to video. And what we basically do is provide a panorama of all the images so that dealer website developers who are creating websites have the materials to create the most beautiful asset that they want. The company evolved again in the late 2000s with the advent of CG, and the company created CG capabilities, and we work with several OEMs either in product marketing or product research, creating CG images of either prototypes or cars that are limited in availability, and make those images available to the OEMs or the dealers. And we're fairly rare in that we can utilize both CG and photography, creating the best solution for clients. So the company's been growing, it's been innovative, and probably the coolest thing that happened was in 2014 when Facebook bought Oculus. There was the recognition that, VR was something that wasn't going to be a trend. Companies were putting a lot of money and time into it. And it was almost as if everything had gone full circle, and the auto industry anyways, had moved back towards Evox. And what the company did was, starting in January of 2000, was collecting stereoscopic images of every car that comes through our facility. So I think I mentioned earlier we do roughly 700 vehicles a year. We started building a VR library, if you will, of all the vehicles that come through here. So to date, we've got 2,700 vehicles that we license, we create apps for, and people have said, why would you do that when the adoption hasn't been as great as everybody had hoped? And, you know, again, our credo has always been being out in front of the industry, and we wanted to have the library in place so that when there is mass adoption, we've got the assets for our clients.
I mean, everything that you have just explained, having taken a tour and have met some of the different people that work here, I feel that, I sense that, I get that. I think it's bold to have launched an app. I've used the app Relay Cars, and then also have viewed the other one, the Mini VR Film, I think it was called. And the Mini VR Film is actually, at first I launched Relay Cars just to get a sample of it, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. I didn't launch the Mini VR Film for a few days later. Then when I launched them, I'm like, holy cow, this one is definitely immersive. Like I'm trying to put myself in these shoes, and I'm literally in bed watching this, and my wife is like, okay, what are you doing? Stop moving, And I'm like, sorry, I'm just getting into this. That thing was pretty cool. I mean, and that was what you're talking about, combining that CG and all the different panoramic 360 degree tools that you guys have been doing here already with Evox. But now this kind of goes to the other part. Now, if we're talking about the experiences that consumers would apply Relay Cars with, and again, maybe Travis, since you like the experiences part of it, so we kind of, David mentioned that, when people are shopping, they'll shop, they want to test drive, pick colors. So where is Relay Cars fitting into that equation right now?
So within our applications now, we allow people to do things. We're building the capability for people to configure things and pick colors. I think that the biggest advancement that we're working on today is we're moving from a fixed point of view type of a headset that keeps your viewpoint is fixed, so you're able to look around a 360 degree space, but you're not able to move forward and backward, left to right. So the Samsung Gear VR, some of the earlier devices out there were fixed point of view. So we are transitioning, using our 3D models, our library that we're creating there, we're transitioning to an experience where you can move around the vehicle. The Oculus Quest that was just announced 2 weeks ago at the Oculus Connect developer conference allows you to actually walk around the space. So, in that case, you'll be able to look at a 3D model of a car, get down, look at the wheels, walk around it, and it's just a lot more lifelike. It's a lot more dynamic.
And I'm imagining if I'm at home doing that, I got to make sure like I'm in a garage with no cars because I'll be doing a lot of moving.
So that's an option. But there's also, you know, they're actually pretty good about allowing a user interface so that you can use the controller and just and click a few feet in front of you and it will light up a circle. And then you know that you can click on that and it'll transport you. So it's like a teleportation navigation that allows you, maybe you're in a small room or you're sitting down and don't want to get up, then you can actually teleport around the space.
Yeah. And so, and you know, we had talked about this once before, you know, if we're looking at, you know, I guess one of the things for me that I still find it difficult is in terms of the VR and AR adoption, or is the fact that, you know, part of it is that you have to have the hardware part of it. Is that one of the bigger challenges that you guys would say that is, you know, why AR and VR is not as widespread adopted? Or
I would say it's a big challenge for us and hundreds, if not thousands, of other companies. Mm-hmm. But what we've been doing to mitigate that is, you know, it's a lot about the assets, the imagery, and the models. So there are platforms right now, we're expecting shortly to release an AR application for iOS and Android that will just have, I think, 5 cars, but it allows you to use technology that's already out there in the space. You know, it's every iPhone that's iPhone 7 or newer, and it's a modern Android phone. So that's a great short term for AR. But then we've also built relay cars for iOS and Android that doesn't require a headset. It's called Magic Window View. And you're able to hold up the phone and look through it like you're, you can spin the car, you can look at the exterior spin, but then you can enter the car and you move the phone around like it's a magic window into a virtual world.
Okay, I see. Yep.
So
I remember seeing that. Yep.
Yeah, so you're able to experience the assets and get a little bit of that immersion without the headsets. You know, but in answer to your question, the headset adoption has certainly been slower, but it is showing signs that it's picking up. And there are incredible resources from, you know, a lot of big companies going towards new headsets, higher internet connectivity and throughput, and most importantly, content to help drive that adoption.
Is there, you know, right now, right, we're saying AR and VR in the same sentence. Mm-hmm. As you guys are continuing to perfect your product and get it into more widespread adoption, is there kind of a 51% leaning more towards AR, 51% towards VR as a way to close that gap? Or do you guys look at AR and VR as one and the same?
We see it as they're different tools right now.
Okay.
So, you know, if you want to put a vehicle into your existing space, then that's most likely an AR application that's going to help you do that. But if you want it to be fully immersive and block out your environment and put you, you know, in a virtual room with a virtual car, then that's clearly going to be best done with VR.
I mean, do you have any thoughts or any data like to suggest that in times like now and with the amount of downloads Relay Cars has gotten, that AR is a little more appropriate, VR is a little more appropriate for, you know, consumers to shop for cars?
I think that, you know, so the data, let's see, there is not data that is universally agreed upon that I'm aware of right now.
I think, are you saying just like the data here or data in general of AR and VR?
Well, data in general as to, you know, I think the kind of the commonly agreed consensus is that AR has the lowest barrier to adoption right now because people have hardware that supports it. You know, I think that to the question of which may be best to shop for cars, I think they're both good. I think that it depends how you want to shop for cars. Mm. You know, if I think it's like the question of would you rather them bring a car to you or you go to a dealer and look at a car? It's like both sound nice.
Now, the test drive portion of it, I know on one hand you can experience that on the app, but obviously is that more for show or is there really something that someone's supposed to get out of that the test drive portion on the app?
I think, you know, we started, one of the things that we did when we launched this app was to take into consideration some of the issues in the past in terms of rendered versus pre-rendered. Okay. So all of our stuff is pre-rendered at this point because that allows you to provide a controlled situation that minimizes the amount of nauseousness. So our test ride right now takes place with the viewer sitting behind the wheel, but because their hands aren't actually driving the car, it's more of a ride situation. It still gives them the ability to look around, see different parts of the car from the inside, watch the terrain going by on the outside. And it's something that we have found just gives a little bit more stickiness and involvement with the consumer. What we're trying to do with either AR or VR is to create the most emotional experience that you can get with the vehicle without actually being behind the wheel of the car.
Well, that's the key word of emotion is definitely what I felt when I was this was just the other day as I was prepping for this interview. I was going through the Relay Cars app and I'm like, oh, they have an exotics section. Okay, let me take a look at this. And actually, one of my favorite cars is a Bentley Continental, not necessarily the convertible, but just the coupe. But you guys had a Continental convertible on the app. And while the exterior, you know, just to remain biased to all listeners, right? The exterior, it's nice. The 360, it's great. You know, I think that's, if anything, it was only maybe the fourth or fifth time around as I was experiencing all the different cars that the 360 exterior view, I'm like, okay, I can appreciate this. But the interior view, that was magic. After watching the interior view of the Continental, and I already know what it looks like, right? But seeing it through the app, I was like, God, I want this car now. I mean, so the emotion was there in an instant. Now, do I have the bank account to support that car at the moment? No, of course not. But right. I mean, so in my head then is, would this be what the next e-commerce is for automotive, in that, okay, it's still the emotional process. I'm in the comfort of my home or my office, and I put on, you know, the glasses that are now more widely available, and all of a sudden, boom, there you go. Like, again, it's you have almost the shopping habits, right, of customers. They're not visiting as many dealers now. They spend 13 hours shopping online, blah, 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 all these stats, right? So then all of a sudden now, that finally takes place with the moment of VR and now the ability to start clicking and shopping and ordering these cars.
Right. I think the great thing about VR and with all technology is that it's empowering the consumer. So the consumer now has the opportunity to decide, or will even more so have the opportunity to decide how they wish to look for information in any category. In the automotive segment, a lot of people don't like going into dealerships because they don't want a hard sell, and they want to be able to do the research themselves. With VR, what we're finding is here's a great opportunity for the consumer to literally get behind the wheel of a car, as you said, configure a car any way that they want. There's certainly a myriad of different ways that you can get the vehicle, and then maybe make the decision as to whether they want to engage with a dealer. In a showroom. I see that in the future that more and more people are going to be able to negotiate directly, not face-to-face, and take delivery of vehicles how they see fit. So they'd have the opportunity. The last two cars that I've leased, I've signed the paperwork in the driveway of my house, and they've dropped off the new car, set up my phone, and driven my previous vehicle away. I think especially as you get around to more affluent people as well as millennials that are looking for more control in terms of how they make purchases, I think VR is going to be right down the middle of the plate.
Kind of evolving the experiential portion of what you guys do here with the pictures of exterior and interior, where does service related things, so is that possible to start photographing engines, run some kind of microscope down one of the cylinders, and then you're able to, you know, service advisors can diagnose an engine better and then be able to communicate that to the customer?
I think we're seeing two trends. You know, there's a lot of turnover at dealerships. A lot of products are changing. Virtual reality is being used as a training tool where a technician can't get to a local training center, they can look at things from a virtual standpoint. There's been a lot of trial in that area, but I think from an AR standpoint, there's probably, okay, instead of virtual reality where you're in your own little world, because of AR, you're actually being able to see the service of the vehicle and get instructions on an overlay in front of you. I think there's a lot more applicability probably in the AR thing. As far as shooting something down a engine block, I'm not sure.
I mean, I think that, you know, the idea of getting into into service and how this immersive technology for AR or VR could start to support service. You know, I think that your concept makes sense and there are a lot of opportunities, but we're picking a few things that kind of support our sales research and design use cases.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I, on one hand, having visited a lot of dealerships, you know, dealerships aren't necessarily offering this just yet, and I can imagine one of the reasons being is that, well, I have salespeople. You know, customer comes in, they test drove one car, they said, well, I would like to get the, you know, cherry wood inlay versus that bamboo inlay that's showing up. Can I see this car? In which then all of a sudden the salesperson would have to go and find the key, drive the car over from whatever lot it's at and bring it back. But a dealer at the end of the day is just going to say that, hey, well, I got the staff to do it. Is that one of the bigger counter arguments in not having customers experience this VR experience at a dealership is because the dealer just has the Okay, we had some technical difficulties there. Sorry, I got a little too excited and had stepped on the plug over here. But so customers being able to experience this at a dealership it's very limited. Again, at least some of the dealers that I've visited in Southern California, I don't know any of them that are using this technology yet. Can consumers do anything to help this process out?
That's a good question.
I know that would sound like self-promotion, but I mean, I think there would be a genuine interest too upon consumers wanting to, you know, be able to experience these cars as much as possible without having to, again, visit the dealer. But I could also see the dealer putting up a fight and be like, well, I want the customer in my showroom.
Well, I think, again, ultimately, there's, because of franchise laws, dealers are always going to have to deliver the car. So they're always going to make the transaction. I think it's the evolution of how people want to shop and dealerships really adapting to what it is. We're kind of at that early stage where, you know, I would guess, I don't know what the number is, what percent of the population has actually experienced a VR headset, would you say?
A statistic I heard yesterday at a conference was 5%.
Okay, so we've got 95% of the population doesn't know what they're missing out on. I think as the technology is introduced and they become aware of how the technology can enhance their overall life, I think that'll drive an awful lot of it. What we're doing is we've created an app called Relay Cars Pro, which actually allows a sales presenter's tablet to drive the experience of what's on a headset. So what we have seen in some tests is a salesperson can, with the tablet, present different configurations of vehicles. So you could, with a headset on if he doesn't have a full stock of inventory, or he's at a mall during the holidays, or he's at a golf tournament, or he's sitting in front of somebody in their office or home. A salesperson can literally build a vehicle for the person based on their wants and desires. So we've built that, and you know, when people are exposed to that, they go, "Oh my gosh, this is unbelievable." Is there pushback and hesitancy from some dealers? Certainly, especially at the salesman level. Most people are concerned about new technology, and it takes a while for them to get into it. But we think that, you know, there are so many benefits of being able to present a complete set of, you know, product offerings that a dealership may not be able to stock. We think it's going to help them actually sell a lot more cars.
So I've always thought about how, you know, if dealerships may not be adopting it as fast, then auto shows are a perfect example or a perfect application in which, you know, having been to auto shows, every manufacturer probably, you know, not all of them, but some do have a station where they have their AR, VR glasses or their VR glasses. Do you guys have any presence coming up at the LA Auto Show?
I think that we're planning on attending. I'd actually have to look. We're working with a lot of different events, so I'm not sure what our particular plans are at the LA Auto Show. Mm-hmm. I do know that we're making plans for 2019, you know, which is quite a while in the future. But you know, I think that there are a couple other points on the dealership involvement with RelayCars. Is, you know, one great reason that it makes sense in the dealership is competitive vehicles. So when somebody wants to leave to go look at another car, oh, you know, you just poured a nice hot coffee. Why don't you hang out, drink your coffee, and let's take a look at that car and talk through it here. And, you know, and we can look, the application can pull up the unique selling propositions for cars that are in inventory, but then also some more critical points for competing vehicles. The other piece that's on our roadmap, and it's not in place yet, is to work with certain dealers to where the consumer app for RelayCars that's out in the market today with 1.3 million downloads would, you know, if you're looking for a vehicle, it might be able to populate a deal at a local dealership. So if I'm looking at a Tesla, it might say, oh, you know, they're running a special at the Tesla in Santa Monica, so, you know, maybe you should go take a look, or, you know, pick a dealer, pick a special. So those are some of the things that, you know, you mentioned that 13 hours of looking at a vehicle online. So this might help get from, okay, I'm looking at a car and I might go into a dealership. It might help bridge people from that web experience to, it's like, wow, I'm really excited about this car. I want to get in there and take a look and drive this thing around. So that we're looking at it that way too.
And is there something too about, I mean, are you guys collecting data?
Yeah,
user data, you know, in terms of they see something and it's like ah, customer likes that. I as the dealer, I as the person that, I'm the OEM. Ah, okay, let's make note of the fact that we're seeing that the lines on this Kia Stinger are resonating. So let's keep that.
We collect it in aggregate, so we don't drill down on any one person, but we absolutely can say, you know, 837 people looked at this Toyota Corolla in Southern California, that sort of thing. Looked at the exterior, looked at the interior, and focused on the passenger seat, you know,
and
for whatever reason.
And now you can track the way that they look at it. Is there anything else that you're able to track with that?
What we've focused on, so there are other things, but, you know, we're building a lot right now, so we put a little effort into the tracking and the analytics. But the most important things to us were, you know, what type of device they're using, where they're located, what cars they're looking at, how long they're in the experience, whether or not they return. So, are they just downloading it? Maybe RelayCars is on the Oculus Go and the top free apps. Mm-hmm. So maybe people try it out and say, oh, that's great, and never go back to it. Or they open it 10 times in a week, in which case we have a much higher likelihood that they're in the market. So we are pulling all of that data and looking at it and talking to some of our clients about it.
Yeah, I mean, we had this conversation off air, but just in terms of the whole like neuroscience part of it, I think that would also be interesting to see where, you know, this goes with, I guess in the automotive space too, where it's like, if somehow, I mean, this would almost be too creepy, but if somehow a dealer or automaker, or let's just say an automaker who was able to test a new vehicle out and they had, you know, 1,000 people and they were all using this VR, and you can kind of see that their brain was lighting up every time that they saw the wheels or something. I mean, I think that would be pretty valuable to the automaker. I think that'd be pretty cool. I mean, if I'm on the other end of it and I'm, you know, trying to sell a product, I'm like, okay, those wheels work. Yeah, you're collecting that data.
So it's tough to put somebody in an fMRI with a VR headset, but there is a lot of data out there with people wearing EEGs. Mm-hmm. So you can get an idea of some basic response. You know, so we don't have any data around automotive, but what we have looked at, there's published research out there. There, you can tell that people are much more engaged. They have more... it's experiential memory. So it's much more as if I experienced this. I experienced the inside of that Bentley versus I saw a picture of the inside of the Bentley. So it's a different memory, like a retention mechanic in your memory. So we know that it's a different memory experience. It's higher emotional involvement too.
I actually got a paper yesterday, and they're basically saying that in most evaluations, it mimics to the nth degree a traditional research clinic.
Okay.
The places where it doesn't really give you a good read is in fabrics and materials and space. But in terms of design, in terms of, you know, overall look and feel, emotional response, how they do it with a headset on versus renting out a big space and bringing in people and everything, it's almost exactly the same.
That's interesting, actually.
And so there is actually, you know, we have looked at some research out there. There's plenty of research, you know, and again, this is published stuff that shows that VR is more memorable. It's more emotional, Some research targeted towards students in STEM education. The research showed that it's led to significant learning gains, higher level of engagement, and more positive attitudes, which I thought was interesting too.
That is interesting.
You know, and I would expect that that's because people are more engaged, and so they're less likely to get bored and, you know.
Well, and especially if the first time they're being exposed to VR is in one of these experiences, that was the same research that we got from this global automotive research company. They said the emotional involvement was so much higher with VR than a traditional people walking around and looking at it. And they said it wasn't just for one vehicle or one class of car, it was for everything. So their actual attention span was at such a heightened level that everything, they got much clearer results. They have also talked about, you know, the capability to do eye tracking with the headset on to specific things, as you were talking about, in terms is, okay, the front three quarter, they give a high score of a vehicle, but what component of that vehicle is the one that really gets them going? Mm-hmm. And to what you guys were talking about, they're measuring it from eye dilation, they're looking at it from breathing, from heart rates. There's even a Dutch firm that we were talking about that was doing something with the skin so they could measure, you know, goosebumps and
like galvanic sweat skin response.
So, you know, there's a lot of those things that they're actually doing in other categories that they want to bring to the automotive segment.
And so like you said too, so a lot of it is still going to be due to not just content, but engaging content, right? Still telling a story. Is there a particular formulation method on how you guys are, you know, telling the story through relay cars? You know, how somebody's experiencing that is, you know, not just the film and the CG, but like if I'm looking at that Bentley, what was the impetus of me looking at it in the way that I was looking at it and consuming it?
I mean, in my mind, the story is aspirational, you know, so we don't have a narrative about somebody else. This is about you. And this is about you being inside that Bentley. Yeah. And I think that a lot of the story takes place in your head, between the parts of the VR headset, you know, where you're thinking about how nice it would be if you really were able to go ahead, if you did have the bank account that might allow you to take a briefcase of cash in and get a Bentley.
I mean, I'll tell you what, that I think that to me, that would be the utopia.
Yes.
You know, especially in automotive, one morning you're just kind of bored out of your mind. It's a Sunday morning and you're just like, you know what, let me see what I can do on this beautiful Sunday. And there you go. There's a Bentley convertible that I can take up and down the coast of PCH and I can just buy it right there and click on it. Boom. Which actually, you know, come to think of it then, you know, I guess that's still going to be tough for any consumer to be able to deploy. You know, for instance, if a consumer wants to sell their car, or you know, with Turo, their people want to rent their car, they don't have. You know, they would need your kind of big warehouse to be able to snap all the kinds of high quality images, right? Like this is there's nothing on a smaller level that can be adopted into Relay cars in that sense, can there?
Well, if they have a car that excuse me, if they have a car that exists in the library, we're planning on adding a share function so that you can, via web, that you can share that vehicle with a friend.
And that's 2015 models and newer, right?
That's right.
Right. And there are some apps out there that dealerships can get where they can literally, with 360 cameras, for used cars, if you were to sell your car, you know, the biggest issue is, geez, what's the exterior and the interior look like? So there are some apps that are in development by other companies that, you know, provide that as an opportunity.
But it's not integrated into Relay Cars.
Well, in Relay Cars Pro, we have the ability to integrate those pictures in. We don't create them ourselves. Somebody else would have to take them.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Huh.
So, you know,
my mind is actually running right now. Like, right. Actually, how that application can go. That's very intriguing.
So we, you know, our biggest issue. We're so excited about where this technology is going. There's so many things that. You know, directions we can go. Our biggest challenge is finding focus and prioritizing. And what we're looking for is companies that really provide a lot of the data and services that are already integrated into dealership management systems to work with them to bring a lot of these products to market. Okay. You know, we're really in the VR, AR space and automotive assets, and we can create the apps, but to really bring a lot of the stuff together, we need people that do that for a living.
And we really do want to be the best way to experience cars. You know, that's our kind of our driving force.
I mean, I think so far from everything that I've experienced, I would attest to that you guys are definitely leading in that space, and especially knowing some of your competitors too. So just to make that fair.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Well, Dave, just tell me a little bit about yourself. How long have you been in the automotive space, I guess, in general?
Well, 30 seconds. I grew up in Detroit around nothing but cars.
When I got gasoline in your blood,
I do. But when I got out of college, I wanted to get as far away from Detroit as I could, and moved to New York. Got a job at an ad agency, and of course, the first account I got on was an automotive account, which was Datsun. And I've been in automotive ever since. I've worked with probably 8 different ad agencies on various accounts, from Datsun, Chrysler, Plymouth, Mazda, Mitsubishi, Suzuki, Acura, Honda, but interspaced in there, I was VP of marketing for Hyundai, and got the client exposure from that side, and was part of a tremendous turnaround of that brand from 98 to 2002. And I've been working with Evox the last 4 years, and it's very, very exciting to be able to bring that marketing background and bring the dealer as well as the consumer's voice in terms of how we approach things.
I mean, I can only imagine too, working in New York, you know, on the ad side of things, and to fast forward to today, it's almost like you probably never would never imagine that this type of application is something that's viable in the market now. You know, the fact that people could shop for cars using virtual reality.
Yeah, it's taking it to the next level. I mean, it's a very scary thing. When we go around and we talk to dealers, and you talk about a virtual showroom, they look at you first of all with, what do you mean? I just spent $15 million to build brick and mortar for a new dealership. What do you mean? People aren't going to come in. And, you know, the more we talk to these bigger, successful brands, they understand, hey, this is how technology is changing. They've got to be at the forefront in terms of adapting. And again, as I said earlier, you know, this isn't going to replace a dealership. They're always going to have the place. What it does is it enables them to present their vehicles in another place, allows them to take the vehicles out of the dealership, lets them take their dealership to any place they want to, and most importantly, allows the consumer to have a more stimulating, exciting shopping experience, which is what it's all about.
Travis, how about yourself? What's your background in automotive? Or, you know, can you just share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My background is really primarily focused on the technology side. I actually had about 12 years where I worked in the music industry, which might seem unrelated. However, every role I was in was being fundamentally changed because Napster, file sharing, piracy, you know, the way distribution was changing there. We were moving formats from CDs to, online. So it was interesting because even from, age 22, I was constantly trying to think about how, in a defensive way, are we going to protect our business from technology? And then, it was nice. I made a transition to gaming. So I worked at Electronic Arts in 2008, 2009. Right when, it was about 6 months after the App Store launch that I was there. And so we were building games on this relatively new platform, on iOS. And so, then it was much more about not how did we be defensive of this tech. It was, what do we do to innovate, stay ahead of people, and adapt to the technology and lead the technology. From that, I transitioned to work for a defense contractor, where for several years I was building built an application with a team. I was the head of production to train intelligence analysts to identify and mitigate bias. We built a VR flight simulator for Boeing to train fighter pilots. So. And I worked on a couple dozen prototypes like that for the DOD. And then around 2015, I joined So in 2016, I joined Evox. And, and Evox was great because I was looking for a role. I've been very passionate about the kind of the immersive technology and where I think it will go really since around 2011. Because, now... if you look out there, we have two dozen headsets. We have, the VR headset museum. A lot of these inexpensive headsets launch and don't last very long. But back then, the cheapest headset we could find was $30,000.
Oh, wow.
So it was, it's changed incredibly since then. And so I was very excited about joining Evox because David Falstrup was really focused on how do we get ahead of the technology? And he was fine with allocating resources towards building these prototypes and experimenting with all the new stuff. So
it's certainly brave and bold to definitely, I would say, hedge and it's a managed hedge, managed risk to see and experience Relay Cars, hear from you two, and to know that you guys are charging ahead and lying in wait to when VR does take wider spread adoption, and boom, now you have the library to support it. You have the entire experience to support it. You know, you had mentioned the whole immersive experience. I almost think that that could actually be a separate episode, because I actually have about 100 other questions about that and kind of where that is going. But it's humbling. I mean, if I'm trying to approach this right now, that I'm a consumer. And, you know, I'll be in the market for a car. And when I am in the market again for a car, what am I going to be experiencing? And to know that you guys are pioneering something that is a little bit ahead of time right now, it's comforting, because then it just makes me feel better, right? As you had mentioned about the story that goes on in your head, and that's really what matters the most. And I would agree with that, right? It's almost like there's no more of someone telling you how a car should be sold, what things about it that matter most. It's like, hey, look, now I'm in the privacy of my own self, my own room, and I get to experience and I get to translate it and understand what this car means to me. So
then the great thing is, for your listeners out there, we're not talking about a concept. They can go on literally the iOS store, the Android store, the Samsung Gear VR store, the Microsoft store, Oculus Go, and download the Relay Cars app. It's free, and experience it themselves.
Well, kudos. That was a great plug at the end. Well, perfect.
Hey, I've been waiting for the last half hour.
Well, thank you, Dave, Travis. Thank you again for being on the show. Thank you for explaining everything. Thank you for the tour. I look forward to following you guys' progress, and I want to do this again and hopefully talk about some immersive stuff.
Come back and see us.
I will.
Thank you for the time.
My special thanks to Travis and Dave for the tour of their facility, as well as being a guest on the show. I'm certain we will be hearing more from them and Relay Cars on Wisco Weekly.
And listeners, we have lots of upcoming episodes that will be focused on the future of automotive and transportation. Be sure to send us a message or write us a review if you have thoughts for us. Next week, we will be featuring former president of BMW Canada and Jaguar Land Rover Canada, Lindsay Duffield.
As we end every episode, cheers, prost, l'chaim, kipis, nastravi, kampai, salud, mabruk, tut sints, to the customer experience.